Mini episode 181 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by that NBA lottery pick, your pop culture influenced look at the world of hoops. Follow them on the web at that NBALotteryPick.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome back to the FDH Lounge, everybody. This is FDH Lounge mini episode number 181. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, part one of our NFC preview for 2012. We start with the NFC East. And, 181, that reminds me of the year 1981 when Joe Gibbs took over the Washington Redskins. And safe to say, when we get to the Redskins part of this thing here, we will not much be thinking about the Joe Gibbs glory years in 2012.
No, but that's a very weird connection that you just made. I was fearing some sort of Ronald Reagan let those hostages free sort of reference.
That was also the year that his supply side tax cuts saved all Western economies, but that's another story for another day. The look you're giving me is awesome right now.
Too bad I can't remember, but you can.
Oh, there we go. Too soon.
That's soon enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, 1980, the year before that, as Morris goes back to Segway school, here's the year that the Philadelphia Eagles won
What are you doing here?
Well, I don't even know.
Okay, well, watch this.
Okay.
And 2012 was the year the New York Giants won it all, as we come full circle.
Yes.
So there you go. And the interesting thing is, the team that's talked about the most is the Dallas Cowboys, and they've won, like, one. Despite that great run they had in the 90s, they've won one playoff game in 15 years.
Yeah, and we both
agree. So there's the 2012 NFC East preview, folks.
Right, we both agree that they're not going to be the team to dethrone the Giants here in the East. You and I both agree that better late than never, this will be a year when the Eagles pull it all together.
Yeah, I always like to say, I've said this every division we've talked about, I think, I like to pick against the reigning division champion if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if I'm given no option, as in the case of New England or Houston and their respective divisions over on the AFC side. The Giants are a team that I just naturally wanted to play against this year. I mean, certainly they got hot at the right time. Hats off to them.
Yep.
They won a second Super Bowl in 5 years. But the Eagles, it's so quick to forget how hyped they were going into last year. The dream team, that moniker, I didn't like that. That was picked up on too much. Vince Young, he stunk. He's out of the league now, for God's sake. But when you watch the Eagles, and I watched them a lot last year, that was like a worst-case scenario type year. They were 4-8 at one point.
Yeah.
They played very well the last month, but it was too little too late, and the pressure was off. They were like a team, much like a Cowboys team, that would inexplicably turn the ball over the worst time. They would have like a 7-play, 70-yard drive. Oh my God, look at the weapons they have here. And then Vic would throw it, it would bounce off a guy's face mask and carry him into a defender's arms. That was the Eagles' year in a nutshell. I just don't think it is possible for them to be worse than last year, so automatically they're going to have a winning record. And Andy Reid has not missed the playoffs, I believe, in back-to-back years during his tenure in the city of brotherly love.
That's true.
So, naturally, the Eagles are my pick. Too much talent here. There was with the lockout last year, they tried to do too much in a short window. It blew up in their face. Not this year. A year of continuity. I got them 11-5 winning the division.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And when it comes around in January, when it comes time for the playoffs to start, they will be citing the name of one of my favorite shows, as they're saying, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay, very good. Yes. Let me get there. Hold on here. I was on a different page. I was on the right page. I wanted to get their win total here for the year before these all go away, as the NFL season, by the way, has started as we talk.
I'm saying 11.
I've got 11 as well, and
we got
Vegas has
them
10. Vegas has them. I mean, it's tough to be projected over 10 by Vegas.
Yeah.
Money, interestingly, on the under there. That's a public team like the Eagles.
Well, bitter people remembering last year.
I guess, yeah.
And a lot of dog owners.
Yeah, so.
That coalition is causing it to happen.
Yeah, okay, I guess. The PETA money is in
it? PETA money!
Nice.
The APL has just made a major line move against the Philadelphia Eagles.
I still see a lot of bitter people on Facebook about that. There was quite a move because I guess...
It was bad. I mean, when you think of it, like, it's kind of gross, but it's...
He's
I mean,
not endorsing sports gear, and I saw people on Facebook, some friends I have in the New York and Philly corridor here, that were going after the Modell's chain and wanting to boycott them for carrying his gear. People remember.
I'm just going to come out and say, I mean, you know me, I mean, I'm a believer in second chances.
Okay. Yeah.
And... The guy paid his debt to society. He seems like a nice, I mean, man, with interviews. I mean, it could be an act, completely an act. Shame on me. But, you know, I wish he would stop saying this is our year, though, about everything. You know, and I feel bad. That's not his fault. You know, so, like, he's been criticized a lot about that. Oh, do you think, you know, the death of Andy Reid's son is, well, do you think you can win it for him? What's he supposed to say? No, you know, not now we stink. You know, I'm impressed. I can't win games. I mean, what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, that's true.
That's him responding to the question. So I've got the Eagles winning the division. The Giants now.
I see them as a wild card at 10-6.
I have them at 10-6, but not making the playoffs. Oh, and man. I admit that is tough because this is a team that doesn't look like they have a lot of weaknesses. But here, I'm buying into this. I'm in this camp. The New York Giants last year were a team that was 7-7 through 14 weeks. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got hot at the right time. It was like the Packers 2 years ago. They just won out. Since 2004, this has essentially been a 500 team that on two separate occasions got very hot down the stretch and won the Super Bowl. They have not had a losing record since 2004. But they have the only years they've won playoff games were the 2 years they won the Super Bowl. Now, every franchise will take that stretch.
Sure.
But... To me, they've got, I mean, I've kind of ripped on teams that are built around rushing the ball, but I will say that New England was dead last in the, or pardon me, not New England, the Giants were dead last in the league in rushing last year.
Right.
They lost Jacobs to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So they could be worse there. And Eli Manning can be so feast or famine. It's a tough sell, I'll be honest with you. All I can say is that they're basically a 500 team that's gotten hot twice in the last 9 years. And I'm going to project them not to make the playoffs.
The other thing...
It's hard for me. Honestly, I would not be surprised if they made the playoffs.
One of our FBH Lounge dignitaries who we have on a decent amount to talk football, a gentleman named Ken Palmer, who writes for a Pigskin Insider, who does tend to cover a lot with the New York Giants. We talk about them a lot on the show. One of the things he and I have talked about, and we discussed in the lead-up to last year's Super Bowl, they have such a supersonic pass rush, and have over the years.
Almost 100 sacks the last two seasons between them. That first stat.
Yeah, I mean, the names change, but, you know, the production remains the same. You got, you know, it goes from Michael Strahan, the first Super Bowl, to JPP, the second one. And, by the way, once again, proving how ignorant all the Giants fans were getting on the message boards when he got drafted saying that the guy was going to be a bust. I remember that to this day and laughing at those people, pointing and laughing.
He had that
people.
High bust potential, I remember,
come
because
on,
it was that physical. So I'm not saying that I agree.
That's a wrong question, bro, because I'm telling you. It was a thing where, here's one of the things, too. How ignorant can the Giants fans be? Who was one of the teams he lit up when he was playing for South Florida? Rutgers. Don't you people even pay attention to the football going on in your own backyard? Come on.
New York's a pro football town, and in this case,
they're
Jersey.
They're a bunch of smart marks. It was he only played 9 games in college. How good can he be? You know, taking a stat and acting like it means anything. These
you really,
fans.
So you really like JPP as well?
I liked him from the outset. And here's the thing, though. Here, and my point about the pass rush is, we forget that consistently, the secondary has been kind of meh. You know?
Yeah.
And when they won the Super Bowl last year, and I think also the previous time, it didn't matter. Now, for your scenario to come about where they just missed the playoffs, it's most likely, under your scenario, that is going to matter for them at the wrong times because, as you said, they're so strong in so many other places.
Yeah, this is a deep NFC, like I said, and, you know, I might even have them at 9 wins, and that's what
okay.
Vegas has them at, 9, by the
All
way.
Right.
I've got them as a 9 or 10 win team, but missing the playoffs.
All right.
And it's going to be like 2 years ago in the NFC where 10-6 may not get you in. That's how deep this conference is, Ricky.
Nice.
Yeah, and the thing with me is I had to get it down to 7, only 7 repeat playoff teams.
Yeah.
And the Giants were the last cut I made.
Nine is, and that's, I did ultimately have them making it, but it was a tough thing for as deep as the NFC is. Nine is where I've got the perennially overrated Dallas Cowboys.
Who are
up there basically on media hype and everything else. I mean, again, they had a pretty good draft.
Worth over $2 million, by the way, so that they are. Look, I don't know if they're overrated or over talked about. You probably say both.
Sure,
but I don't know.
They're over everything.
I don't know if they are. I think if you step out of the blogosphere for JI, okay, I think you'd see a lot of the folks, as your girl Sarah Palin used to call them, the Dallas Cowboys.
Sarah Palin is good people, and I think that she's right that the elitists in Washington are all. Wait a minute, maybe not the elitists in Washington. They're all about the Dallas Cowboys, but the elitists somewhere are all about the Dallas Cowboys.
I like Tony Romo.
Overrated
Tony's
guy.
He's not.
A better stat guy than he is a winner. A way better stat guy than he is a winner. You got to admit that.
What I'm about to say is ludicrous, but I'm going to say it anyway.
That's a first.
Isn't Tony Romo Eli Manning minus two Super Bowls?
No.
Really?
Because, well, here's the thing, though.
They're very similar.
This is what you're missing. You're defining Eli Manning by two games.
Two runs. I'll be Jim Moore.
That's what I'm saying. The games that led up to the Super Bowl, Eli Manning had runs in him that Tony Romo doesn't have in him. Let's not minimize that. Act like dude just got hot for a month or sold his soul to the devil for a month or something. Eli Manning proved it twice when it counted.
Listen to you. Do you see where I'm coming with that? You may disagree, but do you see where I could come with that in that they both have a lot of They've been uneven. But Tony Romo is not the reason Dallas didn't make the playoffs last year.
No.
In the division. It was that defense. And here's the thing. I know you hate Rob Ryan. Okay,
right.
You hate him. Don't lie to me.
I do.
You hate him.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. You know what a Ryan is. If your DC is Ryan,
right.
You know what you're going to do. It's going to be a lot of blitzing.
Yeah.
He did not have the personnel for his kind of defense. He's got a nice front four, but the secondary was just crap last year. I mean, their secondary was as bad as any secondary in the league. They've fixed that seemingly this year. Now, I think the offensive line is still a major, major albatross in front of Romo. And despite the fact that I've spoken much more glowingly about the Cowboys than you did, I'm going to actually pick them to have a worse record at 8-8.
Okay.
They just reek of 8-8.
My last point on Romo, before we move to the Redskins here, is when you
eight
look
and
at
a half is their season win total, by the way, Dallas.
I can't believe I'm picking them to go over. That just seems
the money is not over. Not a surprise. That's a public team. That's a public
team.
Well,
here's what I'm looking at with the Cowboys and with Romo. Notwithstanding the fact that CC Sabathia did have a good enough stretch to win one World Series and prove it, by and large, like CC Sabathia through his career. If the team scores one run, he gives up two. If the team scores two runs, he gives up three. Just good enough to come in the clubhouse and be like, hey, man, it's not my fault. Not that he says that. I'm not accusing him of it. But like, that's who he is. He's the guy who's just good enough to lose narrowly. That's how I see Tony Romo. Hey, man, if it wasn't for the defense, we would have won the game. Again, not that he's saying it, but he gets the benefit of being perceived by that by folks like you, I believe.
I'll completely agree with what you said.
Okay.
I believe it or not, that's a very fair point.
Okay.
Tony Romo, to me, is not as good as people like me say he is.
Okay.
And he's not as bad as his critics say.
Okay.
How about that?
That sounds fair.
As is the case in most discussions in life, both sides of the argument are wrong.
Yeah, and then the segue is, I think that the Washington Redskins are just about as bad as most people think they are. I got them at 5-11. I don't think this is going to be a year of much progress. They've been trying to get wide receivers there forever and coming up short. Again, Robert Griffin III with his college offense that he played in is more of a – he's got a high ceiling, but he's way more of a developmental guy than Andrew Luck or Cam Newton or even Andy Dalton. His ceiling's much higher than Andy Dalton, but a developmental guy.
In a era where this country is experiencing, work with me here, record unemployment,
mm-hmm.
I don't really root for anyone to lose their job.
Okay.
But I would gain great personal satisfaction to see your boy Mike Shanahan get 86.
The rat? Okay. Another bad year, and it will probably happen.
And I got him at 6-10, which isn't far off what you have. Vegas has their win total at 6.5. Money coming in on the over, that's got to be RG3 money. Here's a couple points here. By the way, your boy Shanahan. If it wasn't for the fact that he had John Elway, who I have as the greatest quarterback of all time, I know a debatable point, and then the man who at the time, for a two-year stretch, was the best player in the league, Terrell Davis.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't have those two guys in back-to-back years, what are we saying about this guy's coaching career?
Right.
He's got like one playoff win except for those two runs.
Right.
I think Mike Shanahan is one of the most overrated coaches in the history of this league.
I think he's a decent coach, but not a great coach.
I don't like him. I think he thinks he's so smart.
He definitely thinks he's smarter than he is.
And he's not done anything. He had two, I mean, I'd like to think that I could do okay with those Denver Broncos teams as the coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And
I mean, that might be arrogant of me, but I mean, I just think that that's the case. Here, but with RG3, to your point, I like how you made some comparisons to some of those other quarterbacks that have come in the league recently. I think it is ludicrous for people to say or debate that he's better than Luck or more ready. I think that's ridiculous.
It's insane, yeah.
RG3 came on, you brought up the college offense, and here's why I don't even think he's as good as Cam Newton was. And there was a lot of questions about Newton.
Clearly he's not.
We'll get to Carolina later. And remember, I was the guy out riding the Newton bandwagon before anybody.
Okay.
Okay, I was the Apple before anyone. Okay, whatever. I was trying to make some Isaac Newton reference, and it failed miserably.
We'll go to Steve Jobs then.
Okay. It's true to go. Anyway, Newton was the best player on a team that won the national championship his senior year at Auburn. Won the Heisman Trophy. Griffin won the Heisman Trophy, so okay, and he's black quarterback, so a lot of lazy people are going to compare him to Newton.
Yep.
Baylor won the Alamo Bowl, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, they had an atrocious defense down there in Waco. Okay, I mean, worst defense in Waco since Janet Reno came through, I think. Okay, I saw you do it. I saw those eyes moving. And I just think that it was a more gimmicky offense that Newton played in. I don't see a lot of skill position people. Grant Newton didn't have a lot in Carolina. I just think too tough of a division is the main thing. Why Washington? Well, I'm not saying Washington's awful like some of the last place teams in the AFC, but they're just in a bad division, man. And this coach and this ownership have just failed time and time again.
Yeah, bad personnel people. And what's generally said about quarterbacks is true of running backs, at least this year in Washington. When they say with quarterbacks, if you say you've got two, it means you don't even have one. Same thing in D.C. If you're saying you got two or three running backs, it means you don't even have one.
Well, in fair, I will disagree with you a little on that one. Most teams are going with a platoon at that position. You're a fantasy man.
No, there's a clear-cut one in most scenarios.
Fair.
And in D.C., they're all good enough to be a one. Yeah, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the Kirk Cousins thing. Does that screw up RG3's development? That was one of the weirdest draft picks.
Very strange. Because you can make a real good case that guy's more pro-ready. But by the same token, it's insane,
out of East Lansing.
It's insane to put him in there because the ceiling's much lower. And you got everybody hyped on RG3. Overhyped, I think. And overhyped if you think he's going to be the savior of the team this year. So he's not going to be enough to get the job done. So we're both saying Philly to win the NFC East then. There we go.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.